Offside.
Romunska deficitna pravljica. Romunski parlament je v petek s 319 glasovi za in 104 proti sprejel nov proračun. Glavni akter v sestavi proračuna je bila nacionalna liberalna stranka, ki jo vodi Ilije Boložan, ki že od sestave vlade junija lani izvaja ostro politiko zategovanja pasu. Socialno-demokratska stranka je preteklo sredo blokirala sprejetje proračuna in zahtevala vključitev finančne pomoči za socialno šibkejše, predvsem upokojence. V petek pa so socialdemokrati sprejeli kompromisno rešitev enkratnega izplačila in podprli tako dopolnjen proračun. Novo sprejeti proračun je osredotočen predvsem na zmanjševanje državnega primankljaja, kar od Romunije zahteva Evropska unija. Romunija je namreč lani imela največji državni primankljaj v celotni uniji. Po pričakovanju proračun to dosega predvsem z neoliberalno politiko rezov v socialni državi. Močno se bo zmanjšalo financiranje javnega zdravstva, lokalne uprave in pa ministrstva za delo. Podrobneje o tem, katere reze predvideva proračun, pojasni Florin Poenaru, predavatelj sociologije in antropologije na Univerzi v Bukarešti.
The most important cuts are in the health ministry, the health expenditures, which is kind of crazy given the lack of funding for this domain Romania is historically known for, right? But it's decrease of about 10% in this budget of the health industry, health expenditures of the state. Then there is a significant decrease in the Ministry of Labor, the one that deals with social protections and so on and so forth. It's about 7 to 8%. Then it's an important decrease in the Ministry of Regional Development. This is basically a ministry that deals with various investments in at the local level, right? In mayor houses and places around the country where mayors and local authorities want to invest, and the state co-finances these investments to build, I don't know, schools, gyms, and so on and so forth. And this was a discussion and the conclusion that the current coalition reached before the budget, that they will cut significantly this fund. So these are basically the let's say main cuts that happen in the current budget.
Toda proračun ne predvideva zgolj zategovanja pasu, temveč vključuje tudi povečanje proračuna za določena ministrstva, predvsem ministrstva za obrambo, proračun pa se povečuje tudi represivnim organom, več sogovorec.
Then if you look at the increases that somehow predictable, the Ministry of Defense, of course, gets almost 17% more. Then the presidential administration also gets a higher budget compared to previous years. The Romanian secret the information service, the SRI, the internal secret service, gets also a hefty increase of about 14-15%, just as it happens with the Ministry of Interior. There are some other increases, some of them may be spectacular, like, I don't know, the National Council of Audiovisual. Basically, there's this government agency that deals with regulating how TV and radio broadcasting function, and they got a significant increase, but also because maybe the budget there was extremely low in the past, right? But this is broadly the main picture. You have decreases in key areas which have to do with social security, so basically labor and health, while the budget for the secret service and the military went up.
Kot pojasni sogovorec, je povečanje proračuna za vojsko predvsem rezultat obvez zvezi NATO in drugim vojaškim zaveznicam, kot so Združene države Amerike.
The Romanian state is following this directives of NATO expenditure, right? So we're gonna fulfill the 5% or whatever the percent was agreed. I think it's 5% now, right? But also the Ministry of Defense budget also has to cover the acquisition of weaponry. from various sources that Romania, they have already signed the contracts that are supposed to be signed in the near future, and Romania committed to this expenditure. So this increase, I think it has to do not just simply with an internal logic, but also with the internal logic that is attuned to the interests of NATO, the United States, especially in the context of the war in Ukraine and, of course, the more recent war in Iran and the whole geopolitical complication that this conflict gave rise to.
Glasovanje o proračunu je sprva blokirala socialno-demokratska stranka, ki je zahtevala vključitev finančne pomoči za socialno šibkejše skupine. Na koncu je sprejela kompromis, ki predvideva zgolj enkratno izplačilo denarne pomoči upokojencem in drugim socialno šibkejšim skupinam. Poenaru pove, da je pri tem šlo predvsem za političen manever socialdemokratov, ki ne zagotavlja dejanskega izboljšanja položaja socialno šibkejših.
Was simply a charade. It was simply for show. Basically, what the Social Democrats are trying to do is at the same time to be part of the ruling coalition which implements these harsh austerity measures, especially what happened in the education system in the past few months. So they want to be part of this coalition that implements these harsh austerity measures, while at the same time trying to preserve whatever is left of their initial core voters, which are basically poor pensioners and people with low incomes. And of course, these families with, I don't know, people with kids with disabilities or single mothers and so on and so forth. So what they tried to do was to basically play a dual game, or play this game of saying, okay, we are going to vote this budget, which is basically, as you described it rightfully from the very beginning, an austerity measure budget. But let us introduce a little bit of something that will cater for the most vulnerable, which I think it was something of around, so it was basically a series of amendments and usually one-off payments of about half million, 500 million euros, right? So it's basically nothing. It's, I think the leader of the Social Democrats put it himself very well, that they had all this scandal in parliament and all this illusion of a political fight and all this, you know, people like swearing at each other and having all this kind of very spectacular discussion in the middle of the night, as if to suggest there is some genuine political fight. But in the end, it turns out that the whole amendment, and of course it passed to a large degree, the whole amendment, the whole changes suggested by the Social Democrats amounted to 0.04% of the GDP. Right? So the increases or the spending that they're suggesting is absolutely insignificant.
Čeprav je vlada proračun predlagala rekoč, da z njim rešuje državni primankljaj, pa se po sogovorčevih besedah nihče v romunski politiki ne loteva ključnega vprašanja. Odkot je ta sploh prišel, temveč se osredotoča na neoliberalno logiko zategovanja pasu.
What is the source of the deficit? There's no denial that the deficit is high. There's no denial that there is an infringement procedure that the EU, I think, already started, or it might start if the government does not begin to implement measures aimed at bringing down the deficit. But nobody actually talks about the structural origins of the deficit in order to actually be able to properly curtail it. What happens instead is that there were some cuts happening, especially in the public domain, such as the education and students, scholarships and some local administrations that will be basically forced to lay off people, which all in all amounted to very little in terms of reducing the deficit. So even this austerity logic does not even try to approach the structural origins of the deficit, which of course they have to do with war. With the war effort, with the type of war expenditure that Romania embarked upon, sometimes more openly than in other places, other times when it was less open, in terms of expenditure for military purposes. Right? Of course, it's very hard to trace this exactly because of state secrets and so on, but a huge part of the deficit is precisely because of this expenditure on fulfilling these military obligations, sending arms to Ukraine and buying other arms and so on and so forth. They all contributed to a larger extent, to a significant extent, to the deficit than, let's say, some increase in pensions or some increase in teachers' salaries that are being now cut.
Po Poleg tega sogovorec pojasnjuje, da je primanjkljaj med drugim posledica izposoje sredstev iz raznih mehanizmov Evropske unije, ki države ujamejo v dolžniško past, kot se je to zgodilo že Grčiji.
Another important source of the deficit it's also basically the logic of this resilience plan. You know, these resilience funds that were implemented by the EU after the pandemic, right? And they had this kind of longer cycles where you can borrow and implement these projects over time, and then you also pay interest rates to at least part of this loans, right? So I think this logic of the EU to, on the one hand, okay, have this funds that are available for countries to recover after the pandemic, but large parts of this fund were funds that were basically borrowed with interest, right? And I think this logic also contributed a lot to the debt trap in which the Romanian government fall into, right? Because they tried to attract so many of these funds, they had to co-finance some of them, and they have to borrow money to finance them. Many of them were not actually nothing else than political gifts to party leaders in various local cities and local communities in Romania. So we had this kind of patronage relationship to it as well. But by and large, and in the end, this borrowing logic, this logic of development that is based on borrowing money, and also this logic of the project itself, for which you need to buy to borrow money, led to this increase of the deficit. So on the one hand, it's NATO obligations to spend, which I think affects many other countries as well, since Donald Trump and so on. We know the story, right? So that's one direction which led to the deficit. The second one is this internal structure of the EU itself, which I think it was widely discussed also in terms of during the Greece moment, so 10 years ago. Of course, Romania is not in the Eurozone, but it is part of the EU, and some of the same mechanisms apply even to non-EU countries, especially this idea of indebtedness that you develop things through this co-financing. And once you need to co-finance as a state, and you need to borrow to be able to cater for all this interest.
Evropska unija igra ključno vlogo pri romunski politiki zategovanja pasu. Kot neoliberalna institucija namreč državam, ki so se znašle v arbitrarno določenem previsokem primankljaju, grozi, da bodo končale kot Grčija leta 2009. Po drugi strani pa po Enaru pojasni, da je romunska vlada za razliko od takratne Grške ideološko popolnoma skladna z evropskimi direktivami in se ni niti poskusila upirati zahtevam EU.
The Romanian government, as it is usually the case, basically said that, okay, we're going to implement the austerity package, and that was that. I mean, basically, there was no attempt to negotiate or try to get some sort of breathing space from Brussels to find alternative ways to this brutal austerity measures that they implemented, this austerity program that they implemented. So I think the relationship was, again, one of very clear subservience and acceptance of the Romanian government of the EU policies in this regard. Again, it's always austerity, right? It's always constructed in an authoritarian way.
Poleg NATO in Unije sogovorec izpostavi tudi tretji notranji faktor, ideološko nastrojanost romunske politike proti povišanju državnih dohodkov.
And I would add the third one, which I think is also important, and it's internal, is basically the inability of the Romanian state to enlarge its tax basis, or to put it differently, to enlarge its income. Right, because what Bolojan, the current prime minister in power now, obsessively tried to do was simply to cut state spending in order to cut the deficit. But state spending is just one face of the same coin, because state spending comes together with what the state is basically able to collect, is able to get as an income. And of course, nobody talks, or very few people, usually those critical about the austerity, really generally talk about the real problem of the Romanian state to generate more income, meaning a wider taxation basis, or maybe dropping this idea of a flat tax in favor of a more progressive tax, or cutting all this black market, people who don't pay their VATs and taxes and so on and so forth, more fiscal discipline for everybody, and so on and so forth, right? So you have a lot of, there is a lot of literature in this area of how the Romanian state could generate more income, right? So it also adds to the wider picture that we mentioned. So it's NATO, it's EU logic, but also the inherent inability of the Romanian state to generate more income. This is not simply as sometimes central liberals and right-wingers suggest. It's not just simply about corruption, inability of the state itself, incompetence, and so on and so forth. It's something much more ideological than that. It's basically class dominance, which basically says we want to keep the flat tax, no progressive income. We're not gonna tax more rich people or people with more property, and so on and so forth. Right. So it's something that is very ideological at the core of the state that prevents it from actually making proper steps, making proper decisions in increasing the income of the state.
Odpor do posegov v socialno državo je pričakovano velik, kar je med opozicijskimi strankami voda na mlin prav skrajni desnici. Več sogovorec.
It is dispersed local, but it's also very large. And I think the question then becomes who's going to tap into this absolute genuine widespread discontent and popular resentment generated by the austerity measures, right? So I think that the sentiment is absolutely real. I think it's widespread. I think the current political class is completely delegitimized, including this our, right, this so-called opposition party, sovereignist, and so on and so forth, which is basically some sort of an official opposition, right? So we have an opposition in order to make sure that the real forces of opposition do not raise up, which in this Romanian case may be for the better, to be honest. So this is the paradox, because I'm afraid the real opposition or the real forces that will be able to mobilize the real discontent that is happening in Romania right now, and the disenchantment, the prevailing mood of disenchantment with Romanian political class will be the fascists, right? Will be the extreme right.
Romunija, tako kot kaže, drvi v ponovitev že prej videnega scenarija, kjer neoliberalna politika, ki jo podpira EU, omogoča vzpon fašizma. Offside ti pripravila Vida.